The Radio Network and online at 1037thebuzz.com.
Welcome back to Sport Clips in North Little Rock. Most Razorback fans are looking for a new drug about now. Come by and see us. Sport Clips is hopping. Is there a hoppin'er place? Hoppin'er place?
It's popping in here right now. Things are happening.
It really is. People are looking for any excuse to get away from anything that would involve sports and talk and football and stuff. Let's go right to the Sticky's Rock and Roll Chicken Shack hotline and talk to the man who we've been trying to run down for some time now. He's the lead SEC columnist for College Football News and CampusInsiders.com. His name is Russ Mitchell, and he joins us now in the zone. Russ, how are you?
Wow, that was a great intro. Nobody's going to want to talk football now.
But, well, here's the thing.
We got to talk it. We got to talk it.
We can talk about other teams in addition to Arkansas, but here's how bad it's getting for Razorback fans. We actually just had a guy call in and tell us how bad they were going to suck next year because of the difficulty of the schedule. That's how depressed Razorback fans are at this point. Can you give me anything positive to build on going forward for Razorback fans so they don't look for a high bridge or building to jump off?
I think it's too early to be thinking about next year being difficult. So that's first piece of advice that I'd give. I think that, you know, you look forward at the schedule, and clearly there are some issues that you can believe that are going to transfer forward from this year, but, you know, let's wait until we see the spring. Let's see who develops. Clearly, you know, I just want to say, if you're looking at the Arkansas schedule, you know, I mean, who is it that you think that you were going to beat this year that you've lost to? I mean, maybe you could say Rutgers. I think Rutgers is the one game that everyone thought would be the game that would propel this team to a bowl game if it was going to get there. But, you know, this team has not been the same since Allen got hurt. It has not been able to throw the ball even close to as efficiently as it was. And it's not as much the easy competition that the team had earlier. It has to do, I think, more with Allen's injury. He's not been as effective since he came back. You combine that with more competitive opponents, and you can't get the running game going, and that's where the team's at. But, I mean, this is not far away from where many of us expected Arkansas would be, so everybody just relax.
Thank you. That is the voice of reason. His name is Russ Mitchell. That's why we brought him in today. I'm with you 100%. And you're right. I mean, the Rutgers game, the only problem for the Rutgers game, if Arkansas had gone in there and had their heads kicked in with a backup quarterback, it would have been okay. Everybody could have said, well, you know, we had the backup quarterback. The problem is how they lost. They even screwed that up. It's like, how you lose that game to have a lead, and this is supposed to be a team and a program and a system with Brett Bielema, that those are the games you're able to salt away, and Arkansas was unable to do that after putting themselves in a good position to win.
You know, giving up 104 straight points is embarrassing.
You know, that's bad.
There's no other way of looking at it. It's obviously terribly embarrassing. This is going to be an embarrassing year. Last year was an embarrassing year. You don't lose one of the best coaches in college football for whatever reasons, and suddenly, you know, and expect that if you're a team like Arkansas too, not a team that's, you know, littered with, you know, top football talent like, say, an LSU or an Alabama. And by the way, there aren't very many programs like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you can't just expect to lose a coach like that and then just, you know, keep on. It remains to be seen whether Brett is going to be successful here, but to try to judge some long-term impact off of basically what's transpired, it's pretty clear that we expected it to be this way in the beginning. Everyone just needs to calm down.
All right, we're going to move on to some other programs because I'm with you. Logic
ranks
supreme.
Let's start with Florida because I'm trying to talk Florida people off the cliff too. This is not my specialty.
Yes, well, we'll get to them in just a moment. I have my misgivings about them, but the more that they struggle, the better it is for everybody else in the league as far as I'm concerned, so I'm okay with that. Logic reigns supreme where I come from, but it is hard to tell a very passionate fan that. So, I mean, I understand. Everybody's frustrated, but I think at the end of the day, you're right. It's not too far off what most people expected if they were being realistic. What about from games over the weekend? There were certainly some surprising outcomes in the SEC and around the country this weekend. What was the biggest surprise for you this weekend as far as the outcome of the game or the way a game got out of hand?
You know, I would say that's a great question. I mean, clearly the biggest surprise is the LSU game. LSU's Jeremy Hill was averaging, heading into that game, 9.2 yards per carry between the tackles. Think about that. The Tigers had a running back that was averaging almost 10 yards a carry when running right into the gut. And they come out against a team, Ole Miss, that had seven starters missing on that defense, that had lost three straight games. And they try to chuck the ball deep downfield. You know, Mettenberger has the mother of all bad games.
Mm-hmm.
And they, and rather than saying, when they realize, and this is the same thing that Tennessee did on the road against Florida, you know, rather than recognizing, okay, this isn't working, you know, let's, we can beat this team just by pounding the ball in the middle and wearing them out. They don't have enough guys. What do? They keep throwing it deep. They end up giving up the ball three times in the first half, stake Ole Miss to a 17-point lead at home, and then couldn't keep up. And we talked about, you know, I've been talking about this. LSU's defense is not good. They played a terrible Florida offense 2 weeks ago, and that made them look better. But this LSU defense is not good.
I think that's fair. Which team are you buying into more at this point, Auburn or Missouri? Those are two teams that have surprised most of us with the success they've had so far.
Well, Auburn would have lost if Johnny Manziel had been healthy and hadn't missed that series. Remember, A&M scored on almost every series in the second half, right? Now, so did Auburn.
And they missed, but, yeah, and they missed a horse collar, too. But
right, and remember that Johnny Manziel went out for that series when he got injured, and they didn't mm-hmm. score. Mm-hmm. And that was the difference. A&M, it flipped the table. A&M took the lead, and that was, you know, and then they ran it out from there. And, you know, and Manziel's clearly hurt. You could see that. You could see him wincing throughout. And he's a tough son of a gun, let me tell you. His problem is he's not big enough. But, mm-hmm. I mean, he's as tough as nails. So if he looks hurt, he's hurt. So I'm not as impressed with Auburn. I'm very impressed with Missouri. For me, the defining moment for our new cousins to the north, the defining moment for me was that Georgia game, because you can say all you want about Georgia being injured, but it's not their offensive line and defensive line. Their offensive lines and defensive lines are pretty intact. And Missouri went on the road into Sanford Stadium and whipped them. That Missouri defensive line whipped Georgia's offensive line better than both LSU or South Carolina. And then they did it again against the poorest Florida offensive line at home. And I'm very impressed with the line play. That's why I picked them. I broke a cardinal rule of mine, never picking a freshman quarterback. And I still picked them to beat Florida because they're playing so well in the trenches. Mm-hmm. And I expect them to beat South Carolina.
Wow, that's big news. Now, regardless of whether Shaw plays?
Yeah, you know, I think that, again, they're playing right now at home. They're playing. You guys got to just forget for a minute that it's Missouri.
Yeah.
You know, take off the hat. Take off the jerseys and park your biases for a second and just watch the line play. And Missouri, offensive line, they're healthy, too. Remember, last year they lost five offensive linemen before the end of September. This year, compared to that, they're about as healthy as you can get. And they're dominating. They're dominating in the trenches. They're pushing guys around. They're making big holes. They're either leading or second in the conference in rushing yards per game. They are playing good football in the trenches. And I think they're playing better football in the trenches right now than South Carolina. And playing at home, I think that will be the difference.
Russ Mitchell joining us in the Zone on the Stickies Rock and Roll Chicken Shack Hotline. You can follow him at RussMitchellCFB. On Twitter, if you are interested in such things. I would say it's a mandatory follow in my book. It is amazing, and I don't know what's worse for SEC fans, old-school SEC fans, than for an SEC team not to make the national championship game or to see Missouri in its own title game facing Alabama. God forbid they would beat Alabama. People's heads would explode around here.
If they're good enough to beat Alabama, they'll win the national championship.
Yeah, that's probably true. Okay, get back to Florida for a second. Should fans be concerned, or is that more a product of injuries, do you think?
It's not a product of injuries, and they shouldn't be concerned. Let me repeat that. It's not a product of injuries, and no, they should not be concerned. We talked about this back in July at SEC Media Day. Everybody was worried about that defense. By the way, remember, they were missing three of their four starting defensive linemen against Missouri, too. Everybody was worried about that defense. I wasn't worried there. On offense, heading into the season, before there were any injuries, heading into the season, they had lost three of their starting four wide receivers, three of their best four wide receivers, and were counting on all those freshmen that were coming in. And that wide receiver is the second hardest position to adjust to in the move from high school to college. After offensive line, and they had all that turnover in the offensive line, and if you paid attention in spring ball, the guys that they thought could fill in were having a difficult time. Moore can't get out of the stance fast enough. We saw that on Saturday with Sam just blitzing around him the whole game. And then at running back, they lost Mike. He went off to play for the Dolphins, and he was the difference for that team last year, running that senior up between the tackles. That's what saved their season last year.
Yeah.
So, you know, they basically had inexperience and were thin at every position. And then at quarterback, they had Jeff Driscoll, who had no faith in. And I pointed out that they had an offensive line that allowed more sacks last year and was having turnover. They weren't going to be able to protect him. He would likely get hurt. And then there would be two guys behind him who had never thrown a pass. So this, you know, and yet everybody hyped up Florida coming. And I said Florida had a chance to go 6-6 and maybe miss a bowl. And right now I'm thinking missing a bowl. I think Florida loses on the road to Georgia, even a banged-up Georgia team. They'll lose on the road to South Carolina. They'll lose at home to Florida State. That's 6-6. Now ask yourself a question. Do they beat Vandy?
I think it's in Florida.
But I'll tell you what. I think Vandy could win that game. If Vandy wins that game, Florida's 5-7.
Ooh. Boy, that would be you want to talk about a slap in the face. To be prevented from going to a bowl game by lowly Vanderbilt, or at least what's perceived still as lowly Vanderbilt. People are still having a hard time, Russ, getting their minds around Vanderbilt being a competitive program and Missouri being a legitimate SEC team.
This is the issue that's going on in the SEC right now. If you've watched the last NFL draft, the SEC West and the SEC East each individually put more kids into the NFL than any other conference. At the same time that that's going on, we're having the best recruiting classes ever. Last year's recruiting class that came into the SEC was better than any that we've ever had. The talent that we have right now in the SEC is remarkable and only getting more crowded. And we're still capped. We've artificially capped the sport at 85 players per team, right? Alabama stretches it, but 85 players per team. And we're still only putting 11 kids on the field at a time. So where's all that talent going? You know, you can maybe Alabama and LSU get deeper, and that's important, but as it relates to putting 11 guys on the field, that talent's going to Vandy. It's going to Ole Miss. The value of that talent is more impactful for the teams that have historically been tread on, which creates parity in the middle, a crowding at the middle. That's the SEC today, and that's the SEC of the near future.
Russ Mitchell joining us on the Stickies Rock and Roll Chicken Shack Hotline. The best team in the country, I think, is pretty safe to say Alabama.
I disagree.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay. Give it to me then. Fine. We'll start right there. Give it to me then. What's the best team in America?
I don't know right now. You know, I don't know. Alabama might be the best team in the country, but how do you know? They're on a bye month. They're on a bye month, not a bye week. They're on a bye month. I mean, they've played Georgia State, Kentucky, Arkansas at home, and now Tennessee at home, and then they get a bye week. What do you know from that? You don't know anything from that.
Okay.
You don't know anything. So, I mean, to just guess, I mean, we saw in the beginning of the year that Alabama had significant issues with its offensive line. Now, you can ask yourself, have those issues improved? You know, I don't know. I think I was kind of playing devil's advocate. I think you're right. I think Alabama, you have to give them the benefit of the doubt. They're the two-time defending national champion with a stacked roster. But, you know, I'm not sure. Right now, I have a tremendous amount of faith in both Oregon and Florida State. Very impressed with that kid, Famous Jameis.
Okay, well, if Alabama wins out, they're going to the national championship game. So which team do you think, if they ran the table, would end up getting in? And I don't know how much you've evaluated Oregon and Florida State's schedules that are left. But which one of those teams?
I would say Florida State, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
For every Oregon fan out there, if there's any that are listening, you can relax. If you run the table, it will be you. Because if you look at your schedule, you have far more exciting teams, far more ranked teams to beat which will get you up both in the human and the computer polls in the BCS, so you'll be okay. The problem is that those are good teams, so you got to beat them, and if you can't beat them, then I think this kid, Jameis Winston, is, you know, I put him on par with Johnny Manziel. There's two kids in college football today that I would pay money to watch play, my own money. Not pay them, I mean pay money to get in to watch them play. And that would be Johnny Manziel and this kid, Jameis Winston, out of Florida State.
So you're not including Mariota.
I like Mariota. I mean, but no, I think that that's more, I give more credit to A&M's success and Florida State's success to those individual players. Maybe that's right or wrong, but I do. Than I give credit for Oregon's success just to one player.
Yeah. Okay, I could give you that. I see that.
So as a result, I think that in the reason why, until we get a playoff, y'all, until we get eight teams in a playoff of a league of 64 teams, until we get that, it's still a beauty contest. And if it's a beauty contest, I'm telling you, this Jameis Winston kid is sexy. He gets a lot of press. He gets a lot of attention. He gets a lot of lot. And that will end up pumping up the human poll. And that, you know, the human poll is still the majority of this mix of ingredients. And I think that will probably be the difference. It'll be Florida State versus Alabama.
Okay. Well, yeah, I got to look and see. I guess I haven't seen what they'll. Miami's in the other division. They wouldn't play Miami until the championship game. Is that right?
No, I think they do play Miami, and then I think that they also play. You know, they do play Florida, but Florida will be a shell of what everybody thinks by the time that game at the end of the season comes.
Okay, so they would play like a Vautech or something, maybe in the championship game. Is that right?
Actually, you know,
I need to get more familiar. The Atlantic and the Coastal are still confusing to me. I don't know which is which, but I'd have to look at that. But
there's 14 teams in the SEC, and it's hard enough just to keep track of those.
There's no question. Virginia
Florida
Tech.
Florida State schedule is going forward. Yeah, I got it right here. No, they do not. Yes, they do. They play Miami on November the 2nd, and they play at Miami at home. So they have North Carolina State. By the way, just to let you know, the last four times that North Carolina State, what was that stat that I saw? The last four times that North Carolina State has played a top five, the last four times that North Carolina State has played a top five Seminole team that was undefeated, North Carolina State has won. So they play North Carolina State at home, they play Miami at home, then they play Wake Forest, Syracuse, Idaho, and Florida.
Well, starting this weekend, they're going to be starting a quarterback who started his career at Arkansas. So that's one more reason for Arkansas fans to be mad if they do actually knock off Florida State. So I guess for Brett Bielema's sake, I'm going to hope that doesn't happen. Feasibly, Florida State and Miami could play twice, once in the regular season and then again in the ACC championship game because they're in opposite divisions. In Miami and Virginia Tech, probably, I'm guessing from what I'm seeing here, will be playing in Miami on November 9th for the right to represent that division in the championship. So ACC is going to be fun to see play out, but it would be great, I think, to see that Florida State team match up with either Alabama or, if they happen to lose, Oregon or whatever. But some intriguing games, certainly.
Keep in mind that we have, after having five upsets last weekend, we'll have no upsets this weekend. I don't think we'll see a single one. I think if Texas A&M was playing Vandy in Nashville, if Alabama was playing Tennessee in Knoxville, then maybe we'd have something. But I don't think we'll see a single upset this weekend. But then in November, it starts getting exciting on the 2nd and the 9th.
All right. Very good. Russ, we appreciate the time and really enjoyed having you. Let's get you on again here down the road.
All right. Take care.
All right, take care. That's Russ Mitchell.